I'm going to read some well-known verses of Scripture tonight, particularly for the Christians that are here, that are used to hearing the Word of God. But we'll first of all read in Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 11. It's prophecy concerning the Lord Jesus. 700 odd years before he came. This was written concerning his crucifixion. We'll read in verse 11. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Now we'll go to Mark's Gospel in chapter 15. The latter part of the verse that we read is what I want to think about tonight. He was numbered with the transgressors. The fulfilment of that is seen at the cross. Verse 27 of Mark's Gospel, chapter 15, says, And with him, that is Jesus, with him they crucify two thieves, the one on his right hand, and the other on his left. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, He was numbered with the transgressors. And they that passed by railed on him, wagging their heads and saying, Ah, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself and come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests, mocking, said among themselves with the scribes, He saved others, himself he cannot save. Let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe. And they that were crucified with him reviled him. We'll go over to Luke's Gospel, chapter 23, verse 32. And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. Now a malefactor is an evildoer or a criminal, led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others. Let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him, and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the King of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour, and the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Chapter 24. The Lord Jesus has been buried in a sepulchre. Stone has been rolled across the door. Verse 1 of chapter 24 says, Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them, and they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in, and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them, in shining garments. And as they were afraid, and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. I'm sure that God will bless his word tonight. These are words worth remembering. We have just read that these folks that came to the tomb where he had been buried found the stone rolled away, his body wasn't there. What the angels couldn't understand was that they had not believed what he had told them, that he would rise again from the dead. They were absolutely certain of it. They knew that everything that he said would come to pass. And that was exactly the case when they got to the tomb. And that's why they said, Do you not remember that he told you? In another gospel it says, He is not here, he is risen, as he said. We expected you to remember. We expected you to believe that he would rise again from the dead. It's good for us to understand tonight that everything that he promises comes to pass. Everything that Jesus promises comes to pass. Every promise in the Word of God is fulfilled. Some are yet to be fulfilled. What we read of in Isaiah 53 is an account concerning the crucifixion or the death of the Jews' Messiah 700 years before he came. What we have read tonight is the fulfillment of that. You can see his resurrection in that chapter too, if you read it carefully, Isaiah 53. He shall see of the travail of his soul and be satisfied. The Lord Jesus, risen from the dead, ascended into heaven at the right hand of God, and everyone that believes in him and trusts in him becomes a part of those that he died for, that he paid the price for on the cross. Prophecy fulfilled not only in him, but in everyone that believes in him, who is going to be with him eternally. Now the message of the gospel, I believe, is the greatest message that any man or woman can ever hear. It can bring you into eternal blessing. The very blessing of God. You'd hardly believe it in this day when men around us are denying the very existence of God. And here we are today in this building tonight, fearfully and wonderfully made, humankind, created from his hand, not a mere accident. I'll tell you why we rely on the Word of God tonight. It's not a case of us believing in what is unbelievable. There is nothing in the Scripture that stands against the testimony that is revealed in the world around us. And the Scripture reveals to us how it took place and how it happened. And God, the Creator of heaven and earth, that made mankind in the first place, that holds our very breath in his hand, sees us the way we are in our sin. This is the wonderful thing about it. Understands us better than we know ourselves. And has made a means possible whereby every one of us can have our sins all forgiven and find ourselves on the way to heaven forever. That's what eternal life is. It is eternal. It lasts forever through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's remarkable, these verses that we read in Isaiah 53. They reveal something to us of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. His mercy and his love towards man. In a way that has never been known in the world. We love those that we relate to, that love us. Generally speaking, our affection is towards people that we find something in them that we can love. There's something about them that attracts us. But when it comes to us before God, we must all understand there's nothing about us that's attractive to God. The sin that is apparent in my life, I might remember some of them. The sin that is apparent maybe to those that look at me and watch me and listen to me. You know, that's another thing too. But the sin that God sees in my life, you know, I couldn't weigh it. I couldn't measure it. I couldn't appreciate it. The darkness of the human heart. The thoughts that we have day by day. The things that we do. And yet the love of God towards the sinner has been told out in a wondrous way by the Lord Jesus being numbered with transgressors. You know, I was trying to understand the weight of that during the week. It wasn't just the fact that this holy man, for he was holy, the Son of God, walked amongst men in the world. That was true. It wasn't the fact that he was daily with those that hated him and obviously were showing the hatred in their heart. The fact that they were sinners was all apparent to him in this scene of time. Moving among sinners was one thing. But when you come to the cross and his death, you have the Son of God identifying himself with sinners in a way that is unprecedented. He was numbered with the transgressors, the scripture says. Numbered with transgressors. That's the lawbreakers. That's those that have broken the law of God. Very simply tonight, he was reckoned to be amongst sinners. Counted with them, as far as those that wanted rid of him were concerned. And you look at that scene, try and visualise it in your mind. And here's a man that they couldn't find a fault with. And couldn't find anything wrong with. And struggled to find false accusations against. And they've hung him upon a cross between two thieves. And they're saying, the crucifixion of these two men is really immaterial. It's him that we want crucified. It's him we want dead. And they number him with transgressors. You know what they said? We have a law. And by our law he ought to die because he made himself the Son of God. You know, you read through your Gospels and the things that they said of Christ very often were true. When they're turned round on their head. He was the Son of God. He didn't have to make himself the Son of God. His very life was a testimony to the fact that he came from God. Everything that he did, everything that he said, they stood around and listened to him. They watched his every movement. They wanted to find something wrong. They couldn't find anything. You know, the human heart is so far away from God that when it is exposed to what it really is, generally speaking, it rebels against the truth. That's what happened when the Lord Jesus was here. His life was like white against black. It was like a bright light that shone into the darkness of men's hearts. And they could either receive him for who he said he was, receive him as the Son of God, the Messiah, their Saviour, or they could reject him and turn away from him. There was no other option. One of the two. And generally speaking, they rejected him. And at the end, they hung him upon a cross. Prophecy fulfilled in the death of the Lord Jesus. He was numbered with the transgressors. But you know that lovely little part of the verse says, and he bare the sin of many. You know, that's what we love tonight. I've tried to paint a picture of a man they couldn't find a flaw in. We talk about sinlessness when we talk about Christ, the Lord Jesus. You know, we might talk about holiness, which lifts it to another level. The very character of God, for he was God, manifest in flesh. And we can't really understand it. That's why there was no sin in him. That's why there wasn't a thing out of place in his life. He was holy. Absolutely holy. And the wonderful thing, my friend, is that this holiness never made him aloof. It never distanced himself from men. It never made him reject the presence of man. There was no one that came closer to the sinner than the Lord Jesus. And that's exactly what he did at the cross. You know how I know this? Because I can tell you tonight, he bore my sin on the cross. And I don't know my sin. I've tried to explain that. He knows it. That's what's brought before us in Isaiah 53. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. How? For he shall bear their iniquities. He knows everyone. Everyone that has come to recognise that when he was dying on the cross, it wasn't for his own sin, for he had none. It was for their sins. My sin. You know the message that they preached? The message that they preached throughout the world after the Lord Jesus had risen again from the dead. Through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. He has come so close to us in our sins that he went to the cross and he took the load of sin upon himself. He bore it in his own body on the tree. He is able to save us because he has become our substitute. He has taken our place and all of our sin and need by dying upon the cross. You know, I was struck by the attitude of these two men that hung beside the Lord Jesus and the way that one of them changed his mind. You know, the cross, the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus must have been a terrible scene. I worked beside a man who was from South Africa. The interesting thing is that they tried to preserve, he was British South Africa, they tried to preserve more of Britain over there than we do over here. And he still went to church every Sunday back home. I don't think he really heard the gospel. He went to see the film, The Passion of Christ. And I knew he was going to see it. The next morning, he was sitting agitated at his desk. He was looking over. I knew he was wanting to speak to me about something. And he was waiting till everybody went out of the office. Small office that I'm in. And he said, I went to see that film. I said, I knew you were going. He said, I never slept last night. I said, why? He said, if that is supposed to be a true portrayal of what happened when Jesus was crucified, he says, I never realised that he took such a beating. I never realised that he suffered so much. We often ponder the fact that the Lord Jesus, as Christians, we often think of him with so much power at his disposal and so much ability and authority when he was in the world. and no man able to lay a hand on him. And then we read these words in the Gospels that they took him and they led him and they brought him. And we see him in the hands of men. And we see him willingly giving himself as a sacrifice on the cross. And we see what men did to him. And the scripture records that he would be almost unrecognizable as a man. You think of the human heart. Here's this man without a flaw before them. And these cruel men have a longing in their heart to break him. And they want to hear just some word from his mouth to expose him and show that he's just the same as every other man. And they never hear a thing. And all they hear right up to the point of him being crucified: Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And the cruel hand can't understand it. And the folk that are watching on can't understand it. But I tell you, my friend, there was something more than that at the cross. I tried to explain to my colleague what that was. The Lord there laying on him the iniquity of us all. The terrible darkness that enshrouded the scene as God laid upon him the sin of the world. The sacrifice for sin prepared by God. And the Lord Jesus, his Son, is that very sacrifice on the cross. And going into death, paying the price for the sin of the world. That's why he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He came to know what it was to be forsaken of God. There's not one of us in here knows that tonight. We're in this room and we know that God loves us. And we know that he sent his Son to die for us on the cross. And we know that he's offering us salvation. If we simply believe in his Son, God is close to us, my friend. In the gospel. You know, the word of God says, on one occasion it says, the word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart. The word of faith which we preach. You know, I could spell out the gospel to you before I was saved. I could have told you its terms. I could have quoted scripture. The word was so close to me. It was near me. There might be someone in the meeting tonight and you know it. And you know you need to be saved. You know that this world can't offer you what salvation can. And it's so near to you. And what you have to do is confess him as your Lord and Saviour. If you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. These two men, both of them reviling him, blaspheming him. What made the difference in one man? You know, I think it's the phrase that we read in verse 39 of Luke 23, when the other man on the other side, the one that believed in him, is thinking about what he's witnessing. And he hears his friend saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. And us. And you know what he knows? He realizes there's an immeasurable distance between him and the man on the centre cross. He comes to a true appreciation of himself. He says, I'm unworthy to be classed alongside this man. It's amazing when you look at the scenes around the cross. There's hardly any detail given to us. But three times over you have men that are most qualified to judge, that come to the opinion that this man has no flaws. This man has done nothing wrong. You think of Pilate, the number that stood before him, the governor. He said, I find no fault in this man. You think of this thief that hung beside him on the cross. Some people say that the common expression, it takes one to know one. Here's a thief hanging beside the Lord Jesus on the cross. If he's a criminal, what's he saying? If he's a criminal, he's nothing like me. He said, this man has done nothing amiss. Even the very accusation above his head on the cross wasn't really an accusation. It's all that Pilate could say about him. This is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. The centurion, how many crucifixions had he superintended? How many had he watched over? Made sure the proceedings all went properly. He watches the Lord Jesus. You often think of that man. Was he walking beside him as he walked up to the hill with his cross? Did he follow him all the way outside Jerusalem, his every step? Saw the way the people treated him. Saw his reaction. You know, it's the reactions that really tell what we really are. Not what we do, but how we react in a situation. That shows what we are. And he sees the way that he handles himself. He sees his love for the people round about. He sees his love for his mother on the cross. He hears what he says on the cross. He says, truly this was a righteous man. This was the Son of God. What does this man say? The thief says to the other man, we're here because we deserve to be here. You know, that's something we've all got to understand. You know, if God was to put us out of his presence in hell, it might be hard for us to appreciate tonight. It's just what we deserve in our sin. There's none of us come up to his standard, he says, but this man has done nothing amiss. He says to Jesus, this is wonderful. I don't know what the noise was like at the cross. Can you see all these men gathered round and what they're saying to him and what they're shouting at him? And the blasphemy as they part his garments at the foot of the cross, deciding who's going to get the best one. The noise of it all. How strong was the man? Lord, remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom. You know what this reveals to me? This reveals to me the very heart of God for the sinner. In our extremity, generally speaking, we can think of no one but ourselves. At the very pinnacle of the Lord Jesus' suffering, he hears the cry of the sinner that needs him. This is lovely. The cry of the person that needs him, which has been the very way of his life and his death upon the cross, he hears the cry. Lord, remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom. You might say to me tonight, surely the man's hedging his bets. He's not got any other option. He can't turn to anybody else. The Jews have rejected him. They've chose Barabbas instead of him. The Romans have rejected him. They've put him upon a cross for his crimes. Who else can he turn to? How do we know that the man is genuine? How would the Lord Jesus know that anyone in here was genuine in their trust in him? You know, the wonderful thing is, he knows the heart of every man. Every man. There's a wonderful verse in Scripture that tells us that many believed on him. But the Lord Jesus wouldn't receive them. Because he knew the heart of man. He needed not that any should testify to him of man, for he knew what was in man. Time and time again you read of him through the Gospels, and he knew their thoughts. He knew what they were thinking in their hearts. He understood exactly. The cry of this man from his heart was heard by the Lord Jesus on the cross. And listen to what he says. Lord, remember me. You know, what a change in him. I would love for someone here tonight to change their opinion about the Lord Jesus. See him not only as a man in history that died upon a cross. See him as someone that is able to save you from your sins. Able to give you new life in him. What did God get out of this? What could the man do? afterwards. In a few moments, this man would be dead. Is that not the love of God? To save a man at the very last moment of his life, with nothing in return. There's nothing you can do for salvation. This man could do nothing. This man never even had the opportunity to serve God afterwards, like many others have. Oh, my friend, there's salvation for you tonight through believing in the Lord Jesus, through confessing Him as your Lord. What does the man say? He says, "Remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom." What does that tell me? He understood that the cross was not the end for Christ. Now, this is great what this man appreciated here. Things that we know from the scripture. His resurrection thereafter. His future kingdom. This man said, "Remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom." You know, the wonderful thing is that the person that believes in the Lord Jesus finds that they receive more than they even ask for. You receive forgiveness of sins. You find yourself now a child of God, indwelt by the Holy Spirit, able to live for God, able to please Him, that brings a joy and a satisfaction into your life when you find out why you're really here in this scene of time. But the Lord Jesus says, He's not going to have to wait for a kingdom. "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Today. That man found out that very day what it was to believe on the Lord Jesus. To be with Him forever. With Him forever. Oh, my friend, I want to tell you today that the gospel is a message of urgency. You know, we could turn that round. It's a message for today. It's a message for you today. There's no need to wait. Today, the scripture says three times over, "Today if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart." If you know it to be true, if you feel it in your soul, you know within your being that you need to be saved, that you need to receive Him as your Saviour. Believe in Him tonight. Trust in Him. Rely upon Him. Depend upon Him. He will forgive your sins. He will save you. Shall we pray? Our Father, we come to Thee tonight, grateful in our hearts for the Lord Jesus dying on the cross to pay the price for our sin. We feel a little of Thy love that flows out of these verses of Scripture. When we read of the suffering of Christ, we pray that everyone in the room tonight might appreciate that He died on the cross that they might be saved, to bring them into that place of eternal life through faith in the Lord Jesus. Give Thee thanks. Ask Thy blessing upon each one in His name. Amen.